maybe it's...
I have a question about the saltwater discharge. If I had a 5-gallon bucket and I put it in the end of your discharge, what is the temperature of the water in my bucket?
Temperature is in Fahrenheit on a variety of different weeks. The first week we took back in July, week of July 21st, the intake temperature was 50.5 degrees Fahrenheit, and the discharge was actually lower.
So what's the hottest the water is coming out of that pipe? 50
degrees Fahrenheit. 51.4 was the hottest.
What was the greatest differential difference? What's the greatest differential difference?
I think I have them in a... I think I wrote them down somewhere. I did the math. And I think it was 1.5. There might have been a 2. That might be... No, that's a little over 1.5. This one.
So why would they be so concerned about this water temperature? It seems to me like it's negligible.
What would the difference be greater if it was the winter time and the water's colder?
They allow a little more of a temperature differential in the wintertime. They allow the ambient water temperature to change up to 4 degrees in the mixing zone in the wintertime, and the ambient water to change 1.5 only in the summer, 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. And the difference is just that the aquatic species are a little more sensitive to temperature changes than we are. I mean, they're used to, you know, for millennia, they've been used to certain temperatures. So, and it's been pretty recently that the DEP has considered temperature to be important.
Can you sort of speak to this concept and maybe describe what your commitment is in terms of maintaining? What does the permit require, and what's your commitment in terms of maintaining the systems?
We don't know what the permit requirements are going to be until we get the permit from them. They're going to review the application and tell us what to do.
Yeah, but what are they do in terms of how often
maintenance
they go before them?
I think
it's a legitimate question. You're asking for now. Where are you?
Preliminary talks with the DEP. We're going to be required to sample the system monthly for a year, and then quarterly after that. As for the maintenance, we have a guy on site who's there every day who constantly keeps an eye on this. And maintenance is scheduled as needed. If he sees a little more oil in the system and it's time for cleaning, he cleans it. But we have a guy on site every day to maintain the system.
So you don't have a real set system for when you change these filters up, like, because they're kind of like the filters are ooh.
Well, the filter, if you go back to the P&ID diagram there, the filter has a differential pressure gauge across it, and that's an indication as to when the filter is beginning to get plugged, and that's also a tool that he would use.
Okay. This filter here, this last filter that we have in place.
And so what is the impact to the environment on what ends up in the flush, on the systemic oils? Do you have that? I mean, it's synthetic oil
really
must be
nominal.
Because synthetic oils to the Fed have to have an impact readout if it hits the environment and its wildlife or whatever, where it's dumped, what the impact would be because it's synthetic. Like EPA?
Well, it'll be a DEP license. He'll look at whether he thinks there's an adverse impact or not, and he won't issue the license if he thinks there's going to be an adverse impact.
I mean, that synthetic
$4 an hour is pretty...
Have already had a research of what the impact would be if it got into a certain situation. It has to be done by law when the stuff hits the market, regardless of who uses it, and have you got any of those schematics.
I guess I'm not sure what schematics you would be looking for.
The impact it would have if it hit any of the natural environments.
You know, if the filter fails, you
get the filter. When that oil gets out in that city, what's the impact over time of that synthetic floods building up, what's the impact?
That's a tough one to quantify in this situation. What we do is monitor that discharge, and we have...
So you don't know what the impact can be to our environment?
That would be a good question for the DEP, because they're...
You don't know.
We're not required to make that determination. It's the DEP that...
Yeah, but you know, when you're going to use products, you have to think about that as a company, what your plant is going to be afterwards. Like, you know, you guys should have known this before you used it. You know, we all get that, right? And those are things that people should look into before you start filling it up here in Rockland. Because we have to live with it.
Well, it's an oil.
It's
not a carcinogen. It's not edible.
I know that's
not
that's
vegetable
right.
oil, but
it's going in our oceans. Our sea life, that our lobstermen and clammers and all those have a living to live with, and they're all, you know, have to live with this, and the impact afterwards.
It's my lookout. She's absolutely right there. There's something called a biofilm where these protozoan level and plankton level things can be seriously killed by the tiniest shit underwater.